Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining me now to talk Pac-12 football recruiting, it's Kevin Wade of 24/7 Sports. Kevin, how you doing, man?
Great. How are you, Andrew?
You know what? I'm doing okay. It's been kind of a long week. I'm ready for the weekend, to be completely honest. But, alas, Thursdays always end with a bang because we've got the recruiting show. Oregon is number one in the Pac-12 recruiting rankings right now. USC is number two. Oregon is third nationally. USC is seven nationally. They might get LeBron James's son from Space Jam 2 eventually. Is this thing wrapped up for the most part? I mean, is Oregon going to end up with the number one recruiting class in the Pac-12, or do you think USC has a shot to jump them?
USC needs to hit on every single remaining prospect atop their board to be able to do this. The one luxury USC has is that they've taken smaller classes the past few years. They've had some guys go pro. They can take more than 25 due to some NCAA weird rules. They can take more than 25. Oregon can't. So that's going to be the big question is, USC runs up their total. They might have a shot, but they have to hit on everyone. They've got to land, as you mentioned, LeBron James' son in Space Jam 2, Sierra Wright, top 100 cornerback out of Los Angeles. They've got to hit on the number one prospect in the class, Corey Foreman, and they've just got to hit on every single person. They missed out this week to Stanford for Aaron Armitage, a big defensive end out east that's a top 300 prospect. So they really can't miss on anyone else to weigh out. And Oregon still has room to grow. They've got 23 commitments. They could add one or two more, and one of those two could be a top prospect that just blows this thing away. So it's still a little up in the air, but if I was going to bet on it, wow, I would bet Oregon and a lot of money on it.
USC just did a terrible job last year. I don't think there's any other way to say it. They finished the early recruiting period with the number 12 recruiting class in the Pac-12. This year, they're number seven nationally. They are trending a little bit better. They've got a shot at Corey Foreman. They've got a shot at Ethan Calvert, the number four inside linebacker in the country. Sierra Wright's the number seven corner in the nation. They've got a shot at him. They've already landed Miller Moss and Prophet Brown, a quarterback and athlete, respectively. So they've got a chance to end up with half of the top 10 prospects in the state of California. That's much improved. Does that just simply boil down in your mind to Dante Williams, the former Oregon defensive back coach, who's an expert recruiter? Or do you think they've actually done more than just added Dante and let him do work?
I think they've added Dante and let Dante kind of guide them into a new narrative in recruiting. Recruits knew Dante well from his time at Oregon, and I think he did bring some credibility, and USC did make a number of staff changes. So those staff changes really helped to create a new narrative at USC under Clay Helton, because last year the story was Clay Helton is a lame duck. He's going to get fired eventually. This year, that's not the story that we're hearing from recruits, and that's just not the story overall in the media perspective. No one is saying, all right, well, who's going to be the coach this next year? No one is saying that right now. So I think that's really good for USC. And Dante gave them a ton of credibility, especially with California prospects, but their fourth highest rated commit, Julian Simon, was recruited by Oregon by Dante Williams. He helped on that recruitment along with other coaches, and that brought him from the Seattle area down to be a USC commit.
It's almost like you're reading my mind, because that's where I want to pivot next, the state of Washington. The Washington Huskies right now are fourth in the Pac-12, and it just feels like a massive massive missed opportunity. For folks who do not know, the state of Washington is currently producing the number one prospect in the nation, according to 24/7 Sports, JT Tuimoloau, a defensive end, defensive tackle out of Washington. Emeka Egbuka is the number one wide receiver in the country. Both of those players right now are trending to Ohio State. And then Sam Heward, they did get the number one quarterback in the nation, but they had a chance to land the number one overall prospect, the number one wide receiver, the number one quarterback. And oh yeah, by the way, Troy Franklin, the five-star wide receiver for Oregon, played with Sam Heward on his 7-on-7 team, and Washington struggled to close him out. What happened with Washington? Jimmy Lake was supposed to be this recruiter that was going to elevate things over Chris Peterson, and unless they close really strong and shock everyone and get JT Tuimoloau or Emeka Egbuka, the story of this class is going to be that they missed on two of the best prospects ever to come out of their home state, and they're both local kids.
Washington just hasn't done a great job in keeping the really, really elite talent home. I mean, they did get Savelle Smalls last year, which was a surprise to me, but his stock did drop towards the end of the recruiting cycle from five-star status on a number of the different services. So I think it will be interesting to see what does happen. I just don't feel that JT or Emeka will end up at Washington. They did get Sam Heward, but he's a legacy. I wonder if the COVID pandemic did play a little bit into this, because if Washington would have been able to just to let those kids come to campus over and over, that would have driven how close and they were at home, which is something I think Washington needed to do because they already were a little bit behind in those recruitments, because these guys want to go win national championships. And Washington right now does not look like a national championship contender, whereas Emeka Egbuka could go to Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and really compete for a national title. And JT Tuimoloau literally could pick any of the schools that I just mentioned, or any other school for that matter. I know he has a top seven, but it remains to be seen if Jimmy Lake can really keep those top prospects home. But he may have missed his window, because Washington does produce talented prospects, but nothing like three of the top 10 prospects in the country.
Yeah, Washington's 25th in the country, and if you just give them those top three guys that are from their own backyard, you give them those two, they already have Sam Heward, they could jump up 10 spots. They're not going to. They're behind Florida State, to give people an idea in recruiting of where they're at. Florida State, obviously, traditionally a recruiting power, but look at what's been going on with that program and how much of a dumpster fire that's been. They should not be behind Florida State, Arkansas, Minnesota, and Iowa in the recruiting rankings. Just pretty inexcusable. Arizona State is interesting. They made headlines recently. They dropped three kids from their recruiting class who were already committed. I talked about this on the show, and it really, really bothered me. I talked about non-committable offers versus committable offers and how programs can avoid that. Kevin, am I crazy for being bothered by what Arizona State did, or do you think this might be a new norm in the Pac-12? Again, this is Kevin Wade from 24/7 Sports.
You know, I don't think it's going to become a new norm. It might be a new norm at ASU. It does bother me a little bit, just because of when this traditionally happens in recruiting, it's never a good thing, and it never reflects well on the school. It's kind of been talked about. The recruits kind of knew that this was a possibility. But I do think it's interesting that ASU cut ties with guys, two from Wisconsin. There's only been one prospect from the state of Wisconsin to sign with the Pac-12, an offensive lineman at UCLA, in the past decade. So it's not like a traditional hotbed of recruiting they decided to part ways from. But I think it's just really interesting because Herm Edwards is trying to run his program like an NFL program, and you just don't see colleges doing that. You see colleges building on relationships, and you look at what kids talk and kids feel narratives. And so if a lot of recruits are saying, hey, I don't want to go play for Arizona State because they're dropping kids, well, that might create a narrative down the line. I think this year, kids are just going to want to take the best spot available. So I don't think it has any impact this year, especially since ASU does do a decent job of recruiting the state of California and around the West Coast. I think more pressing for me at Arizona State is you're dropping kids from Wisconsin trying to chase other people, where there's other schools just picking at your backyard. I mean, we've seen a number of the top prospects go to Texas schools. Three of the top 10 from Arizona are at Oregon. I think that's where ASU really needs to focus instead of digging around the nation for other prospects.
I think this is a fair place to end this interview. And I want to give Oregon fan an exciting end. How good is Ty Thompson, and do you think he can earn a fifth star on 24/7 Sports as well?
I have no place to speak about the 24/7 rankings.
Speak it into existence, Kevin. Speak it into existence. Do what's right. Do the right thing. Count the votes.
The high council on the top of the mountains. And, you know, I don't make that call. I think he's having an incredible season. I think he's nearly at 2,000 passing yards through, like, four games. It's absolutely absurd. I think he's going to be right there when the next batch of rankings comes out from the 2021 class. I mean, he's already made an astronomical jump. And what they wanted to see further was his film. And I think his film's really good. If he continues to do that the rest of the season throughout the Arizona playoffs, there is a possibility, but, you know, that's not my place to make that call. But Oregon fans should definitely be excited about what they're getting in Ty Thompson. He is a very, very talented quarterback. And in my opinion, he's an absolute game changer. And Oregon already has two top 150 quarterbacks on the roster in Jay Butterfield and Tyler Shuck right now. So to say that, it's a game changer.
Is he the best? Where does he rank all time for Oregon quarterback recruits? And where does he rank in your mind only, not 24/7 rankings, in your mind only, where does he rank all time for Oregon offensive recruits?
For Oregon offensive recruits, I mean, I still want to put Jonathan Stewart. I mean, Jonathan Stewart's the third or fourth highest all-time recruit, and I think that still stands just because of how good he was. But he definitely passes guys like Lake Seastrunk, Thomas Tyner. He's up there in the conversation with DeAnthony as well as high school production. The film is just incredible. Sure, he has a completely different purpose, but a quarterback is a guy that touches the ball on every single play. And you saw his comeback last weekend against Gilbert. It was very impressive and made some big throws to take his team back down 18 to win by six with 6 minutes remaining. So I think he's up there. I think he is the highest rated quarterback now that he made the jump up to number 40 on the 247 composite. So 15th overall, just one spot behind Royce Freeman and right outside of that five-star bubble, usually 32 five-stars in the class. So if he gets any more moves, I could definitely see him earning that five-star. It's just up to the three respective rankings and what 24/7 does.
Where can we find your work, Kevin?
Find it at duckterritory.com. Or you can find me at Twitter at KWadeSays.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You too.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.